There we go. Okay, everybody. We're here. Take a moment. Breathe. Become conscious of your breathing, your heartbeat. Notice that you have the ability to see through all the clutter of thoughts and feelings that are always clamoring to get our attention. Look at me, I'm important. Think about me, worry about me, be fearful about me, be joyful about this. Don't be joyful about that. What if? All of that stuff is just stuff. It's not who you are. 99% of the time, it's not even terribly important. Because as soon as you get rid of it, something else is there to take its place. So we're going to begin with a prayer or an affirmation. It's a reminder of who we truly are. I am whole. I am filled with light. I am perfect. I am filled with light. I am surrounded by the pure white light of Christ. Nothing but good shall come to me. Nothing but good shall go from me. I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks. Morning and happy Easter, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Going to begin on page 234. Thirty-four, beginning of some questions that the guides are taking on. You might notice if you've ever seen any of Paul's workshops that usually after the guides have talked to Paul through Paul for a while, that there's usually some time for people to ask questions about essentially what's going on in their lives. Here's the question. How do we get stronger in acting from the place of knowing of the divine self? Because I can flip into small self to large self, and I would like to act from the place of the Christ itself. Before class started, I read this over a little bit, and I have a, something that I need to reevaluate. You've heard me often say that it seems like part of the process of being here on planet Earth is going through periods of waking and sleeping, you know, being aware and being unaware. And that the choice we have is when I become aware again, I can either be grateful for that or I can beat myself up for falling asleep. However, the answer to Paul's question, or the answer to the questioner, is a little bit deeper than that. So I'm in the process of reevaluating whether or not what this whole trip is all about is waking and sleeping, of whether or not there is the definite possibility of doing everything from a higher level of consciousness. It's just that I don't know what that looks like. So I might have been making a comfortable excuse of saying, oh, that's just what life is all about, without realizing that there's a deeper meaning there that I might need to make myself more available to and more open to that my thinking mind cannot completely understand. Does that make sense? So If I have misled you in any way, I apologize. The interesting thing about it is that you don't know you're in higher consciousness until you're in higher consciousness. A little bit of a catch-22 there. The other piece of it is you can't reach higher consciousness through lower consciousness. It just doesn't work that way. So I'd like you to keep that in mind as we explore this answer that the guides give about moving from higher self or lower self to higher self. Could you pass John the microphone? You need to talk into that so the people at home can hear you. No, you don't have to leave your body. I ain't got nobody. What you do have to, you might have to leave your attachment to your body, or your identification of self as your body. But as Rabindra Sagioli, one of the founders of psychosynthesis, talks about, I have a body, but I am not my body. I have a mind, but I am not my mind. I have feelings, I have emotions, but I am not my feelings, I'm not my emotions, I'm more than all of that. So in order to be able to reach higher states of consciousness, I might need to drop my old definitions of self, the things that are not who I am. And that's it's a lot more difficult than we might think. In times of stress, we might be a little bit more able to do something like that. But on everyday consciousness, it's very easy for me anyway to fall back into lower self-thinking or identification with my lower self. But the simple answer to your question is no, I don't need to leave my body behind. I might need to leave my attachment to my body behind, or my idea of that's who I am. Good question. The guides say, thank you for the question. And it's the best question so far in the entire series. Because literally, I think the answer to this sums up everything they've been teaching so far. And we will tell you why. It is the teaching you are receiving. You want to maintain a high level. Many of you say, how do I maintain the high level of vibration? But what you said was, how do I maintain my knowing and expression of my truth? That's another way of saying the same thing. How do I maintain my knowing and expression of my truth? If you can begin to understand that the I am self, the higher consciousness, Christ consciousness, the I am self, is the truth of who you are, you can begin to go into alignment with it as the truth of who you are. But you got to know it first. The word that this book uses quite often is you've got to claim it. You've got to claim that as your reality. And once you claim it as your reality, you become more and more aligned with it. And you might say, well, that doesn't sound terribly difficult. Why would I not do that? Why would I not claim that higher reality for myself? Because it's always there. And I have to ask myself that same question. Why wouldn't I choose that all the time? Is it just out of forgetfulness? Or is there a kind of an edge there that I know I'm worthy, but I'm not quite sure I am?
Mm-hmm.
That prayer we end our unity services with, light of God surrounds us, love of God enfolds, the power of God protects, the presence of God watches over us wherever we are. The last line of that we say, I am divine. Now I know that's true, but do I really believe it? Am I willing to take, so there's part of me, at least the way I'm observing myself these days, there's part of me that hasn't quite made that leap yet. I'm still hedging my bets. All right. I'm wondering, is it too good to be true? Is that really true? Is that the truth of who I am? And again, I know that. I do know that to the depth of my being, but do I really act out of that belief? I don't want to make this into true confessions, but that just happens to be real where I'm coming from. As I like to say, the good news, by the way, is another name for gospel. The word gospel means good news. The good news is you're not who you think you are. Around. The good news is you're not who you think you are. We're on page 234. The recognition that you have lived an entire life in validation of the small self's needs. What will make me look pretty? What will bring me honor? What will make me happy? What will make me whatever it is? Simply means that you are readdressing the self in a very different way. Living out of the lower self or the small self consciousness is a reflection of what Thoreau once said, "Oh God, to have reached the point of death and to realize that I have never lived." Because I've just lived, I haven't taken any risks. I've lived in this safety net of my small consciousness. Because that I think that's safe. Whereas it's just keeping me locked in to a lower level of thinking and a lower level of vibration. We do not discount the creations of man. About looking pretty or bringing you honor or bringing you safety or bringing you whatever might happen. We don't discount those things. Somebody with ambition had to build a building you sit in. Somebody one day made a decision that a book could be bound and the words shared with others. These are inspired things. But the manifestation of man on this plane of any incidence and worth have been inspired by the divine within them. In other words, anyone and everything can be an expression of the divine, but only if you realize that you are also an expression of that truth. I am an expression of divine love. I am a unique expression of divine love. I did a class, not one of these, but in another class that I'm work with occasionally, about what it's like to keep in mind that we are all unique expressions of divine consciousness, a unique expression that is never going to be repeated. This constellation of ego and personality, of your past, of your memories, of all the stuff that makes you not who you are, but all the stuff that contributes to making you who you are on one level of existence, perhaps a smaller level, is never going that pattern is never going to be repeated again. So the truth of the matter is that nobody can love like you love. Nobody can believe like you believe. Nobody can be joyful as you can be joyful. Nobody can give what you can give. None of that is going to be true ever again, including this particular moment, which is never going to repeat itself. So not only are you never going to repeat yourself, this moment that we are in is never going to repeat itself. So I can make this moment into an expression of divine consciousness or not. That's my choice. But I've got to be awake enough or aware enough to allow it to be my choice. If you all understood that you don't lose anything you require, truly require, by going into the knowing you require of who you truly are, you can move into the agreement you need. I lose nothing by moving into higher consciousness. There's nothing to be afraid of. I remember Ram Dass was talking to this spiritual being, spirit being called Emmanuel, which I know I've quoted a couple of times, and I said that on your class reflections occasionally. Ram Dass one time said, "Emmanuel, tell me about death." And Emmanuel said, "Death is perfectly safe. You're not losing anything." He said, it's like taking off a shoe that's too tight. I love that. It's like taking off a shoe that's too tight. There's nothing to be afraid of. It's just moving from one state of consciousness to another. And it never happens until you're ready to have it happen. You might not think that consciously, but it doesn't happen until you're ready to have that happen. If you all understood that you don't lose anything you require, truly require, by going into the knowing you require of who you truly are, you can move into the agreement you need. Paul is questioning this too, hey Jimmy. He spends much of his day in worry or fear. He spends much of his day in worry and fear, being safe, taking care of things. I must say that I find myself in that category sometimes, but I consider myself to be tremendously fortunate in the fact that I have classes like this to work with, that I have sermons to write, that I am pushed to almost literally have to be in a higher state of consciousness. Because if I'm doing that just out of my ego, nobody's going to listen. If I come in here and this is an ego trip on Sunday morning, this group would thin itself out very, very quickly, okay? Whether you're online or not. He is questioning this too. He spends much of his day in worry or fear. But we are teaching you all now how to move beyond that. And the text we will deliver soon in Mastery is the teaching you need to claim the foothold in the mountain you will climb. There are mountains to follow, yes. But the divine as you who leads the way will begin to call to you each opportunity you need to re-know the self in the truth of who she is. So we call to ourselves the experiences that are going to allow us to experience that truth, a truth of who you are on the highest level of consciousness that's available to you. And that's always growing, by the way. The highest level of consciousness that's available to you right now is not the same that's available to you 5 minutes from now. How did Peace Pilgrim put it very simply, which I love this quote, is once you have lived up to the light that you have, what you already claim, more will be given to you. Now, the little self wants the more before I've done the grunt work, okay? And that's just the way it works. But that's just not gonna, it's not, that's usually how I can tell whether I'm working out of my smaller self or my higher self conscious. If there's want, if there's desire, if there's grasping, that's usually the small self talking. Not as a bad thing, it's just that's what it is. Saying, oh, that's my little self taking charge again. It's not who I am. It's not what I'm looking for. The thing you think you must do is figure it out. And this is also true for all of you. If only I could figure this out. If only I can get. So I'll buy another book. I'll go to another workshop. The thing you think you must do is figure it out. And this is true for all of you. The small self cannot figure it out. Small self doesn't understand unconditional love. Can't. This does not exist in its vocabulary. Not bad, it's just limited. You know, it'd be like trying to teach a six-year-old calculus. Well, they haven't learned long division yet, and they haven't even learned how to add or multiply yet. There's not anything wrong with the kid, just not there yet, just not able to receive that teaching as yet. She cannot know herself at this level of vibration. The divine self as you will be the one who gifts you with what you require to claim the consistency of the act of knowing. Carl Jung was just was interviewed, doing a radio interview with somebody, of course, years ago. And the interviewer was kind of being a little bit of a smartass, said something to the effect of, "Do you believe in God?" And he said, "No," which just totally shocked this poor guy. Bah, bah, bah. He didn't know what to ask next. He said, "I don't believe in God. I know." Oh. I don't believe in God. I know. The divine self as you will be the one who gifts you with what you require to claim the constancy of the act of knowing. I know who you are. I know what you are. I know how you serve. Jim, use my, thank you.
I just have a question, you know, as you were just sharing that, what kind of came to me is spirit always nudging us to come higher, to go up to our higher self? And in that, I'm going to answer my own questions, you know, we can't ignore it, but I guess my question is there always that nudge by spirit to come higher? But do I try to stifle it or quiet it so I don't want to hear it?
Good question. The first part is true, that without making this into a dichotomy, it's not like the spirit's over here and I'm over here, right? When I am open to spirit, I am spirit. But we have to take into account that we're also dealing with the material existence here on planet Earth. So my answer to your first part of the question is, yes, spirit is always nudging. Not pushing, nudging. And what's interesting about that is that we are creating the circumstances that allow spirit to nudge us forward. I mean, it's multi-layered, okay? And yes, there is some resistance to that we all have occasionally. And again, not looking at our resistance as being a bad thing, but being my small self or my limited self wanting to take over again. So I don't beat myself up for being resistant. I wouldn't beat up a three-year-old for being resistant. The three-year-old is naturally resistant, okay, to doing what you want him to do. That's just part of a three-year-old's nature. So I don't beat him up. I recognize that as being true, but I don't make that into my truth. And I'll say, I know you're being resistant to this, but here's the way we need to do this. And I also, if you're willing to, kind of work with my small self that same way. Marianne Williamson did it wonderfully. She said, when my ego acts up or tells me to do this or do that, I just sort of reach over and pat him on the head, say, thank you for sharing. But we're going this way. So it's gentle, but it's powerful at the same time.
So there's an acknowledgement of that ego, but there isn't like I'm just going to like just discard it.
Exactly. I don't discard it. That's what I love about this particular path that the guides outline here, is that nothing is thrown away. Nothing is denied. It all has a reason and a purpose behind it. Eventually, we're going to get to the same place where everything seems to be an illusion, and the only thing that exists is my higher consciousness in alignment with God's higher consciousness. Right? But we're not there yet. I'm not there yet. I'm still working on that. Listen to this. Now, when you know yourself in truth, you may be tested to deny it. Who do you think you are to know yourself in this way? Who do you think you are, young man? I used to get that from my mom every once in a while when I was seemingly too full of myself. I wonder what it would have been like if I said, I'm a divine child of God, unconditionally loved. Who are you? And you know what's interesting is I look back, that kid already knew that,
right?
But was afraid to say it out loud. I already knew that. I already knew that, but I was afraid to say it out loud because that would have been fresh. That would have been bold. That would have been disrespectful.
So it was already there. It just needed to be activated.
Yes. And I'll tell you when it did get activated. I grew up in a traditional Catholic church environment. But before any of that could take hold, I can remember walking home from Prospect Park in Brooklyn with my mom, my mom's sister, my aunt, and two of my cousins who were in one was Kathy was, I guess, about 5, and Mary was about 3, and I was right in the middle. I was about 4, between 4 and 5. And we're walking home, walking down the street, and like most little boys would do, I picked up a stick on the street, and I started running along the edge of this wrought iron fence, just doing what kids do. And all of a sudden, I have no way else of describing this, I felt this overpowering sense of unconditional love. And I remember jumping up in the air, dropping the stick on the ground, jumping up in the air and just going, oh. And my mother saying, what's going on? And the only words that I had to describe that was, God loves me so much. The truth. God loves me so much. And I remember my mom looking at me like, where'd that come from? And she didn't say anything, but I knew she felt like that was kind of odd. And I took that in. But maybe it's not right for me to feel that way. That moment, that mystical moment, and that look of disdain or not understanding, you know, maybe I'm not supposed to feel that way. But see, I knew it. At that moment, I knew. And even though I went through a whole lot of things that tempted me to forget that as being the truth, I never forgot it. Now, when you know yourself in truth, you may be tested to deny it. Who do you think you are to know yourself in this way? That's what your ego says, that your small self says. Who do you think you are, young man? But that is an active requirement of one who is growing. In other words, it's going to happen. When you have dedicated yourself to growth, resistance is going to come up to the surface. It's going to happen. And you are creating that resistance as part of the lesson you're learning. Nothing wrong with it, nothing bad about it, just there. To face the accuser, the small self, the one who says no, is a test and a level of growth. Thank you for your very good question. We will go to the next. In other words, when the doubt or the resistance shows up, you don't have to deny it, you don't have to throw it away, and you don't have to pound it into submission. You say, I know better than the objection that you're raising right now. And even though that might not affect my feelings, my emotions right away, I still know how I'm being led as being the truth of who I am. So here's another important reality that I might change my mind with sometime or another. But let's say when resistance comes along, resistance to growth, sometimes that's accompanied by feelings, emotions of unworthiness, doubt, shame, guilt, whatever it might happen to be. And even though I change my focus to my higher consciousness of affirming my alignment with my higher self, some of those emotions and feelings might still be there. They don't just disappear by themselves. So what I might have to do is continue to practice that deep inner kind of awareness and allow those feelings eventually, don't beat them up, don't deny them, but allow them to loosen their hold on me. All right? Because they're not going to go away. As soon as I change my thinking, the feelings are not going to go away necessarily right away either. They're going to stay. And because they stay, they're going to say, well, I'm staying here. I must be the truth. They're going to disguise themselves as being the truth again, because that's what they do. So I'm going to need to be really, really aware, really, really careful if you're not buying into the feelings as being true. Feelings are just part of that resistance that gets thrown up in my face every once in a while. It's a reflection of my lower consciousness wanting to hold on to it, wanting to hold on to this limited identity. Right? But I do, and so I recognize that, but I don't need to let it take me over. And I don't keep checking out the feel. The feelings will eventually go away or take care of themselves, but that's not going to happen with the same immediacy that changing my mind or changing my thoughts. So just kind of be aware of that one, okay? Yeah, Jim.
You said here exactly what I had been feeling, that when I was first introduced to this way of thinking, I thought, okay, I'm going to affirm this, affirm that, and that'll be the end of it. And what I've learned for me is that my practice, my own practice, whether it's meditation, prayer, or combination of life, different other things, has helped me continue to open up that consciousness when the consciousness closes up in the little self. And, you know, because I one time I had stopped, so I'm going to stop doing, I got this. But, you know, but then if you say, here comes that little self that's there. So as for me, it's a continuum to practice and practice and practice and practice. And again, you know, truth be told, something I don't feel like it. But my higher self says, okay, when you do it, here are the results of it. And I think my consciousness has like muscle memory, just like physical memory. In other words, you know what? I continue to do it and do it and do it and do it again. It kind of becomes, I embody it. Not that there isn't going to be that slip, but like what you said, when there's that slip, like you always say, be aware of being aware, I'm gentle with myself and just kind of continue on the path, if that makes sense.
It definitely. Yeah, thank you. Definitely. Hang on a second, Linda. Can you press that back? No, the microphone.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. To face the accuser, the one who says no, is a test and a level of growth. Thank you for the very good question. In one of the Marvel comic book movies, one of them called Doctor Strange, the first one, the second one was rather idiotic, but the first one was really kind of cool. This enlightened master is talking to Doctor Strange, and he's talking about getting rid of his demons. And I forget what her name was, the anointed one or something like that, says to him, the job is not to get rid of your demons, but to rise above them.
Oh. Wow.
Not to get rid of your demons, but to rise above them.
Wow.
That was so beautiful.
Wow.
And it also reminded me that the truth is every place, right? Even in a Doctor Strange movie. Okay. I found that one of my favorite readings is science fiction and fantasy. I'm leaning more towards the fantasy level the last few years. But every once in a while, there'll be a quote or an idea that will just kind of hit me like a brick off the top of my head and going, wow. By seeing a spiritual teaching where you least expect it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder how many of those I've missed. You know, that have been going on, that I was looking over here and they were happening over there. I get that a lot when I'm looking out at you guys and seeing you smile. That's a gift. We might have time for this one other question. When we seek justice for ourselves or for something in our lives, is that the small self seeking it? Justice. Actually, yes. It is always the small self who seeks vindication. The divine self does not require it. Divine self doesn't need it. Now, there are things you may claim. He punched me in the nose. He can pay for the surgery. He can pay for the crime. But that is not necessarily the divine self who seeks revenge or penance or duty paid. You understand this, yes? That is the small self engaging in the law of material realm, which is tit for tat and is the cause of all war. So here I am playing softball with some of my buddies. And I hit the ball and it goes through somebody's window. Now, being an honest kid, I go to my neighbor and say, I hit the ball through your window. I broke your window. I'm sorry. And the lady who owns the house says, oh, that's okay. I know you didn't mean it, right? That'll be $15, please. So I'm not blaming you for breaking the window. I'm not, you know, judging you for breaking the window, but you are responsible for breaking the window. Don't feel bad about it, but you still owe me $15. This does not mean you are a doormat, but the truth we speak to, the divine self as you, would never seek retribution or justice in the way you perceive it because she has no requirement for it. Jesus said, if your neighbor asks for your coat, give him your cloak too. If they ask you to walk 1 mile with them, walk two. But we will correct you in one way. When you are in truth, you bring the truth to all situations. And the truth you bring to it may bring justice, but not through the act of revenge or recrimination, but because, get this, but because the light will shine and transform the injustice. The light will shine and transform the injustice. That's Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech right there. You understand this, yes? The action of the divine will do the work in a vastly different way than the personality self will in traffic court. You understand this. Thank you for your very good question. We go to the next now. Again, it's not denying that, but knowing that if it's done out of a sense of retribution or revenge, you're coming from lower consciousness. Again, I'm not sure why I was reminded of Martin Luther King's speech at that particular moment, but there was no anger in that. There was no vengeance. There was no getting even. Even though he talked about the kind of the whole history of racism, that was not part of the agenda. In fact, he said specifically, I'm not afraid anymore because I have been to the mountaintop. Gandhi being shot in the lap of one of his followers, bleeding to death. The only thing he said was Ram, 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 the name of God. Not who shot me, not what am I going to do, not do this next or do that. Reciting the name of God again, again, again. Okay, we're going to do a meditation. I know we have a little bit of extra time, but we'll do a little bit of a longer meditation. And I got to leave a little bit early anyway, because it's not sure what's going on in the sanctuary right now. It's always something different, but got to get ready for it. There's always a prize, right? Okay. You just settle down in the place you're in. And take a couple of breaths. Get a sense of the rhythm of your breathing, pulsing of your heartbeat. And know that that is the rhythm of the universe moving through you and all of us in its own unique way. I am a unique expression of divine love. This pattern in this moment will never repeat itself. Therefore, it is so, so precious. Get a sense of your physical being, your body. And for a moment, just let go of your physical being. I have a body, but I am not my body. I am more than that. Become aware of whatever might be rocking around inside you, your emotions. Your feelings. Some are important, some are not important. Some are calling you to attention. Some are just kind of floating there. Some of them have names, most of them do, some of them don't. So there's that thing, that feeling, and I'm not quite sure what it is. So I have feelings, but I am not my feelings. I am more than that. And then take a look at your mind. Your mind's like a little thought factory, constantly producing stuff to process. Let go of that too. I have a mind, I have thoughts, but I am not my mind. I am more than that. I am more than my body, more than my emotions, more than my mind. And I am moving forward. I am stretching. My capacity for unconditional love is continually growing. I breathe it into my being because the universe is saturated with unconditional love. It doesn't always appear that way. But it is. when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," the light never goes out. So we have a choice every moment. Do I make the darkness true? Or do I make the light true? Do I make my anger, my fear, my vengeance, my retribution? Do I make that truth? Do I make my joy, my love, my light, my peace, my gratitude? Do I make that my truth? Notice how the resistance moves in and wants to say, "Oh, this other stuff is truth." And you can say no to that. Even though the feelings might not go away right away. I know who I am. I know how much I am loved. I open myself up to the expansion of divine love and grace. I am a gift to myself and to all others I will meet this day. I am at peace. I am whole. I am filled with light. I am perfect. I am filled with light. I am surrounded by the pure white light of Christ. Nothing but good shall come to me. Nothing but good shall go from me. I give thanks, I give thanks, I give thanks. Deep breath and stretch a bit.
Answer phone.
Open your eyes when you're ready. Thank you all. Wishing you a happy Easter, loving day, loving energy.
Thank you, Jerry. Happy
Thanks
Easter.
For being here.
Thanks
for being
Easter
here, guys.
To everyone.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
You're welcome.
Thank you for blessing me.
Thank you, Jerry.